Welcome to Literary Quest, a podcast hosted by us, Vicky and Marissa, where we discuss our favorite in fantasy fiction and hopefully can direct you in your quest to find your next great read.
Welcome to Literary Quest. This week, we are talking about Twilight by Stephanie Meyer. I will be doing the characters and location, and Marissa will pick up with our plot. We'll also probably be talking about the movie a little bit too, since we will watch this around the same time. So for our characters, we have Isabella, also known as Bella Swan. She's a 17-year-old girl. She moves from Phoenix to Forks, Washington, so that her mother can travel the country with her minor league baseball player husband, Phil. Her main personality characteristics are being clumsy and hating the rain. Her father is Charlie Swan. He is the local sheriff in Forks. They get along, but they don't really talk much or spend a lot of quality time together. Charlie is well-liked in town. He is friends with Billy Black, a member of the Quileute tribe, who lives in Lepush with his son, Jacob Black, a 15-year-old who knew Bella as a child. Despite her social awkwardness, Bella has several friends at her high school. There's Mike, Eric, and Ben. They all try to date her at one point. But she also has some female friends. She's got Jessica and Angela. They accept her quickly, and they also seem to know everyone at the high school and what's going on. Then we have the love interest, Edward Cullen. He is over 100 years old. He's a vampire. He looks like he's 17, so he goes to high school over and over again. He has your typical characteristics of a vampire: cold skin, can't go out into the sun, unnatural beauty, all of that. His main personality characteristics are gaslighting and being vague. He has a large family of vampires. They're not related by blood, but they found each other over time, and they all are vegetarian vampires, meaning that they don't feed on humans, they feed on animals. So the head of the family is Carlisle Cullen, who is a doctor, and then there's his wife and mother figure of the group, Esme. His siblings include Rosalie, who was originally supposed to be his mate, as well as Alice, Jasper, and Emmett. Rosalie and Emmett are in a relationship, as are Alice and Jasper. And a few of the family members have special powers. Edward is able to read minds, except for Bella's mind. He can't read her mind. Alice can see the future, and Jasper can control emotions. And Emmett has super strength, according to Wikipedia, but I believe they all have super strength, so, you know. And the family moves around every 6 or 7 years so that people don't notice their lack of aging. As I said previously, this is in Forks, Washington. It is statistically the rainiest town in America, which is perfect for vampires.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Isabella Swan is a super average teenage girl with no sense of self-preservation and a pretty significant lack of coordination and probably some deficits in proprioception as well, who moves to Forks, Washington to live with her father, Charlie, the town's police chief, after her mother marries a younger man who will be working out of town. According to Bella, Forks is the worst. It's too green. It's too wet. There's probably too much oxygen because of all of the trees and the luxurious moss. It's gross. And so Bella reluctantly but rapidly makes friends at her new school. However, she also runs into someone who is definitely not a fan. Edward Cullen, a beautiful boy in her chemistry class. Edward spurns Bella and she is shocked at his response. He disappears for a few days and it's all she can think about. He returns the next week and tries to be friendly, and then he later saves Bella after she's nearly crushed by a car in the school parking lot. But that should have been impossible because he was on the other side of the parking lot and he literally stopped a moving vehicle with his hands. So Bella, though grateful for being alive, confronts him about how he managed to do this, because how is this even possible? And he gaslights her about the whole situation, saying no one would ever believe you anyway. And so she eventually begins to make connections that Edward is something special and something supernatural. And this is confirmed by her friend Jacob Black when he relays to her a story about the Cold Ones, or vampires, which the Cullens definitely are. Edward saves Bella again when a shopping trip goes awry in Port Angeles, and then they're basically in love and dating after that. Edward reveals all of his secrets to Bella, and Bella meets Edward's family. They invite her to a game of baseball, which starts out all right, but it's bad news bears for Bella when a coven of vampires passing through Forks hear the Cullens game, and James, the leader of their coven and a tracker, decides to hunt and kill Bella. The Cullens make a plan to keep Bella safe, to get her out of Forks, but will it be enough to keep her out of James' clutches? Spoilers abound.
Yep. So this was not your first read of this book, right?
No, I've read this book a couple of times, I think. But this was my first time reading this book as a middle 30-year-old person. And the perspective is very different from when I was an early 20s-year-old person. Mm-hmm. Have you read the books before?
I have not.
Oh!
I've not read the books, and I only saw the movies, well, other than this time, once. And it was 2017 when I saw the movies. Because when I went to go get it again to watch it, it was, like, last rented or in 2017. So I was like, all right.
There you go.
Yes, I should have bought it, since apparently I'm watching it more than once.
Add a timestamp on it. That's hilarious.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel a lot of things about this book. Like, I kind of love it, but I also don't. Like, it's very cringy at times. It is, especially the movies, are almost physically painful to watch at some point because it's so uncomfortable. And so the book is not quite as bad as that, but there are still times where it is uncomfortable in the story. And the things that are bothersome to me now as a 30-something-year-old person are not the same as my feelings when I was a 20-something reading these books. So I do, it's full of angst, and I kind of love that, especially like the second book. There is, if I'm remembering correctly, a tremendous amount of angst. We don't get the best angst in this story, but there is some. So I would say my feelings about this book are really mixed. What did you think about it, first time reader?
I think probably if this had come out and if I had read it when I was in middle school, I would have been one of those people who made it my personality. But reading it as a 30-some-odd-year-old, I wouldn't say that I loved this book. But I also didn't hate it. I kind of enjoyed it in the same way that I enjoy, like, Nicolas Cage movies.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, this is bad, this is good. Like, sort right. of thing. Yeah. So I ended the book. I don't really feel the need to read the second one. What I do want to read, though, is Midnight Sun, because I want to know what's happening in Edward's head.
Yeah.
During some of this scenes, some of this book. I have seen lots of TikToks about the movie and the book, and it seems pretty unhinged, the Midnight Sun book. So I'm excited to read it once it comes off hold in my library, because I'm not gonna buy it.
Yeah. No, I agree with your assessment of the Nicolas Cage. It's like watching a Nicolas Cage movie. That is exactly what it's like. Like, it's not good, but I'm still having a good time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize, I wasn't thinking about how Bella almost comes off as like a pick me, I'm special kind of character until we were reading our character descriptions in my plot. And I was like, oh, she is kind of like one of those characters that's like, he likes her because she's special and different.
Yes. Not like other girls. Yes. I have that in my notes. I was like, ooh, this is definitely, I think it's like when she's listening to music and she, of course, knows some like classical musician. I think that's one of my notes. I was like, okay, Bella, we get it. You're not like other girls.
Yeah. Yeah. definitely comes through with some pick me vibes for sure. So when I was 20 or 21 years old and reading these books, I don't think we really used words like gaslighting, right? I was like a junior. So it was like maybe like 2010, maybe 2009, 2010 when I was reading these books. And I don't really think we talked about like gaslighting people back then. It definitely happened, but I feel like we didn't have the words for it. Now we do, though. And Edward definitely gaslights Bella through a lot of this book. And some of the behaviors that he had that were creepy when I was like 20 years old are much worse now.
Yeah. That scene where he's trying to convince her that he didn't push the car out of the way.
Yeah.
Was cringy both in the book and in the movie when I watched it. And he was so rude about it. He's like, it's not my fault if you're, you know, not observant.
Right.
Or whatever. And then later on, he talks about how observant she is. And it's like, ugh. Yeah, you were being a jerk. You were gaslighting this girl. It's interesting. So like I read it like simultaneously with the movie. So to see that, read that scene and then watch it with the movie, right? Mm-hmm. In the book, she's supposed to be angry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I think they're in a closet or something, I don't know, but she's supposed to be like angry and defiant against him, and that didn't come across in the movie. And I had this weird, so I had watched the movie before, so it was kind of conflicting because I pictured, you know, Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson, and I've got all of that in my mind, and so the characters aren't the same really, like they have more personality,
yeah,
I feel like, in the books.
Yeah. I kind of feel like the movies were not well cast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that Edward, or what's his name? Robert Pattinson. I don't think he's a great Edward. I don't think Kristen Stewart's a great Bella.
Mm-mm.
I don't think either of them are really great.
I also think the director wasn't great, because there's that one scene in the movie. It's the meadow scene, right? Mm-hmm. And they pan up and they look like broken baby dolls just laying there in this weird position. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. What was the director thinking when he went, yes, that's what I want? It's so awkward in the book. You know, it's like this nice scene and everything, you know, whatever. They're laying next to each other. So awkward.
Yeah. The movie's just not. It's just not great.
Mm-mm.
The second one is better. Like, they get better over time.
Okay.
But that first one is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. So there were some other things that I noticed as a mid-30s, something that I didn't notice when I was younger. I didn't remember, Bella basically parenting herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I thought about her mom at all, but my opinion of Renee has certainly deteriorated over time, because I think she kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It sounds like Bella did like all of the cooking and shopping and stuff when she lived with her mom, and her mom was pretty scattered. And then Bella chose to remove herself from their house because she felt like a burden to Renee and her new husband. That's not how that's supposed to work. I know. I asked my mom about this. Just to confirm, because I was thinking, that doesn't seem right. That's not right.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. It did very much feel like, although the mother didn't directly do this, you know, when a mother picks a new boyfriend or new husband or whatever over their kid, although she didn't directly do it, she made her feel uncomfortable enough that Bella felt like that was the right decision. Like, yeah. And that the child removed themselves from it because, and that's so sad.
I understand
the story, but that's so sad.
Yeah, because moving to Forks makes Bella unhappy. Mm-hmm. She's not doing it because she really wants to. She's doing it because and it's almost like she's parentifying her parent, right? She's parenting her parent.
Mm-hmm.
It would make her happier to do it this way. And even Edward at one point asks Bella, well, if you had someone, would your mom respond this way? And Bella's like, well, probably not. But she's the parent. But is she?
Yeah.
I don't feel like Renee really leans into the parent vibe here. And when she, so there's that. When Bella decides to go to Seattle instead of the spring dance, she says to Charlie, or she says to herself when she's talking to Charlie about it, I didn't want to ask permission because it set a bad precedent. Like, she's thinking this in her head, which I think is an interesting thing to think, because it just kind of lends itself to my, like, the idea that Bella mostly raised herself and is not really in the habit of asking permission to do things. Whereas I, as a 17-year-old, would never have been able to say to my parents, yeah, I'm going to drive in my crappy truck that can't go above 60 miles an hour to a very large city for the day by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so this was interesting to me because Charlie's been living by himself and stuff for years now, mm-hmm. right? It sounds like he never really got over Bella's mom.
Right.
Right. But Bella shows up and she's just like, I'm going to do all the cooking. I'm going to do everything. Mm-hmm. And he was clearly sustaining himself perfectly fine beforehand. But yeah. He just like lets her do it. There are a couple moments where he's like, you know, like, you stop taking care of me, or you've been doing it, you know, for a while. But for the most part, he's just totally happy to have his daughter serve him.
Yeah.
Wasn't a huge fan of that.
Yeah. It is a little bit different in the movie. They just go out to eat a lot, which I guess is better. I mean, he's at least paying for her meals, but Bella chooses to do that on, like, to do that too. Yeah. Again, it's like the child parenting the parent. Mm-hmm. So I don't think she really maybe had the ability to, like, actually be the child in her relationship with Renee. And now that's showing up with how she interacts with Charlie. But also, I don't know, Charlie is really interesting too, because, yeah, you're right. I agree. I don't think that he got over his wife. Bella says that the cabinets are still painted like yellow, which is what the color that Renee painted them when she still lived there. He still has a picture of them together, Charlie and Renee. And it doesn't sound like he's really, I mean, we don't know, but it doesn't sound like he's really dated other people. So he still seems to be kind of carrying the flame.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, I don't know, maybe it feels nice to Charlie to kind of be cared for by somebody. But I also don't think that, like, I think Renee leaving him probably really hurt him. And I don't think that he, because of the way Bella grew up mostly in Phoenix, he, like, really feels empowered to be a parent. Mm-hmm. Right? It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
Like, he asks some cursory, he does try to be more involved with her, which I think is great, because that's what you would hope for somebody if they had moved in with their parent who they had not lived with in probably 15 years and only saw sporadically, you mm-hmm. know, throughout time. You would hope that when they move in with their father, or whoever their parent would be, their father in this situation, that their parent would want to be more involved. And so Charlie is, he asks her about, like, the people that she's being friends with in school, and the boys that might be interested in her, that she might be interested in. And it sounds like he tried to stay involved with her life when she lived in Phoenix. And so I, as a character relative to Renee, certainly I like Charlie. I just think that it would be really hard to try to be a parent, or maybe even see yourself as, like, a disciplinarian or an authority figure when your child, who is 17 now, mm-hmm. is coming to live with you in the middle of their junior year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he hasn't done, like, 24/7 parenting for, you know, years, I'm sure. And now he's with a teenager who's almost an adult, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's a tough situation.
Yeah, I think it makes it hard. And Bella certainly is not looking to him for permission to do things. She's deciding what she wants to do and getting approval after the fact. So which makes sense based on what it sounds like her arrangements were with Renee. Mm-hmm. This is a YA novel, which I had to keep reminding myself of when we got into some of these moments. And it was so like the teenagery stuff was so uncomfortable. I had to keep reminding myself they're teenagers. It's supposed to be this uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's part of, I don't think the acting is great in the movie, but I do think the acting is a pretty accurate depiction of how uncomfortable high school students maybe could be. So
yeah,
I also feel like somebody needs to check on Bella. Like, I remember when being uncoordinated and awkward was just, you know, the vibe, your personality in high school. But the casualness with which everybody accepts that Bella just tripping over nothing is normal concerns me. Like, does she have some hypermobility issues? Are we struggling with proprioception? Can she feel where her body is at in space? I'm concerned.
Yeah, it was definitely that, like, I'm a quirky girl, but also are you okay? Because, you know, you're getting injured here. Like,
yeah,
do some exercises or something.
Like, it's funny, but maybe you need to lift weights or something.
Yeah.
Maybe you need some coordination training. Haha. Yeah. Although she has to take, they have gym like every year in Forks, I guess. And that's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I only had gym for one semester in high school. So, and that was enough.
Really? Oh, that's interesting. My school, we didn't have to do it all 4 years, but if you were in like a sport, you got exempt from having to do it.
Yeah.
So there was only 1 year that I just did like regular PE, and they pretty much put us in a weight room, showed us how to use weights, and then left us. And in this book, they spent a whole class talking about the rules of badminton. And is badminton that complicated?
You know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it. You just hit the shuttlecock, which is the name of the thing, and that's a great name. You just bat it over the thing, I thought. The net.
Yeah. It's a whole class. And my note is this PE or like theories of PE? Because why did they spend an entire class being lectured on badminton? So Bella's pretty popular in school, right? She's got friends. You know, she doesn't seem bullied by anyone. No. Right? No.
Well, there's that girl, Lauren, who's kind of hateful to her because the Cullens like her. But in general, well-liked.
Right. But her inner monologue about it is she's somehow the main character with main character energy, but not, if I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know how to describe it. But basically, she's like, in her head, she's always like, I'm a freak. Everyone's going to talk about me. You know, I'm from the big city. I'm a novelty. And it's just, you're going to Forks, Washington. Nobody cares, Belle. Like,
yeah,
they don't care that much. And in the book, it's more just like, oh, cool, a new student. Let's hit on her. I feel like. Like, there's no, oh my gosh, whisper, whisper, whisper. So I feel like she's, and I also think like most teenagers are like this anyway. It's probably just how they maybe feel in general.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, that was like the first part of the book where I was like that. I was got very tired of that.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. You are setting yourself up.
In the movie. There's this scene where the Cullens have made a wall piece out of all of the graduation caps that they have accrued over the years after going to high school many, many times. This sounds terrible to me. I would find any other way to spend my time besides repeatedly going to high school, even college. Like, I would do college repeatedly Because you could major in something different every time. And if you fail, you just leave. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal.
Yep.
High school would be a nightmare.
Yeah. You're always awkward. You're uncomfortable. You haven't grown into like your body completely or your mind even.
Yeah.
It's got to be most people's nightmare to have to go to high school over and over and over again.
Yes. And then to be an immortal adult person
mm-hmm.
who is over 100 years old at this point and is still spending time with people who have developing brains every single day, all the time. Like, the tedium, I cannot imagine. I just think surely there must be a better way to spend your time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
the town folk still believe that you are telling some version of your truth. Surely. Mm-hmm. Is there a community college? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Homeschool. Bella likes to complain about how little there is to offer for entertainment and food options and forks. She at one point makes a comment about Charlie being shocked because she's making some kind of, I think, enchiladas and there's peppers in them.
Oh,
and I went to Forks last year.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I did not see any vampires. Maybe I wasn't looking in the right place. But I do think Bella would be relieved to know now that they do have a Tex-Mex restaurant. They also have several little like coffee hut drive-thru things. So they've come along since this book came out in 2005. But I almost got, so she really trash talks the forest here. And I almost got offended on behalf of the trees and the moss, because the moss in the Olympic National Park, the moss in the whole rainforest is some of the prettiest stuff I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's luxurious moss. The trees are stupendous and enormous, and it does not feel like real life. So she's talking trash about this place, and I'm thinking, like, ma'am, you need to calm down. However, in Arkansas this week, it did not rain yesterday, but it has rained all of the other days of this week, including today. And for four of those days, we had Silent Hill-esque fog. And it's been pretty depressing. So I can see where she would get pretty tired of the rain after coming from Phoenix. But it's too green. She says that at one point. It's too green.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
No, it's not. I highlighted that. I think it's like the scene where she goes for a walk behind her house into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And my note was, have you never been to the woods, Bella? Like, what did you expect you were going to see when you walked into the woods and the mm-hmm. forest? What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. And I'm like jealous of her. She can go on a hike right outside of her house. She just left her house and was like, oh, hike. I meanwhile have to leave the state or the country to go on hikes. And then when it is sunny, right? The Cullens, since can't see them when it's sunny, right? Are pulled out of school. And also in the beginning of the book, Edward ditches school for a while. Like, not just a day or two, at least a week he ditches school. And I'm pretty sure there are some laws about this where you can't miss a certain number of days.
Yeah.
Before having to do like summer school or making the days up on the weekends or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. They do seem to like school, so maybe they're fine with that.
Yeah. I think you're right. I do think that there are rules about how many days you can miss and stuff like that. But they're the Cullens and a town treasure, and everybody loves and is smitten by them. And I'm sure that someone could sweet talk the principal into not being bothered by the amount of days that they missed.
Mm-hmm.
Bella calls it dazzling. He says, you dazzle people. She says, you dazzle people.
I was wondering if they had glamour, but that's not mentioned anywhere.
No, I don't think so, but they do. I think this is just kind of vampire lore, like the ability to draw people in and kind of
mm-hmm.
sway them into doing what you want them to do.
Yeah. kind of hypnotize them a little bit.
Yeah, kind of hypnotize them. Part of it may also be like their brain unconsciously registering something more threatening or apex predator type of thing and just going along with what they want to limit potential damage or ramifications. So maybe that's part of it too. I felt like Bella and Edward were both pretty ridiculous in equal measure in terms of, so Edward really delights in calling Bella like absurd and ridiculous, and she totally is. Mm-hmm. He's pretty ridiculous too though. Because Bella's all like, why don't you like me? Why can't I stop thinking about you? Do I smell bad? You're rude. I love you. And Edward is like, you smell great and I want to eat you. Literally, so definitely don't be friends with me. I'm a bad guy. I'm a monster. You should stay away. But don't, though. Because I love you. And in fact, I'm not going to let you stay away. I'm going to sneak into your room and watch you sleep. But I'm a monster. You shouldn't be friends with me. This, like, they're both ridiculous.
Oh.
This is the angst, right? The angst, yeah, that I was talking about. Angst. It's something else. I can't imagine why anyone would want to be trapped at age 17 forever. But Edward didn't have a choice. He was dying.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never want to be trapped at 17. Immortalize me in my 30s. Do it in this body that I'm in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was, those scenes were painful in the movie too. Yeah. It was funny, but painful. When he's asking her, when she says, oh, well, what are your theories about what I am? And she says, radioactive spiders, or, you know, and he's like, what if I'm the villain?
Yeah.
Okay, we get it.
I do think it's interesting. So you had brought up a good point when we were talking about, because eventually Bella does want to be made into, when she finds out about Edward being a vampire and all of that jazz, she wants to be turned into a vampire too. Mm-hmm. And Edward, because he was dying, was turned into a vampire when he was about 17 years old as well, over 100 years ago. And so you made an interesting comment about if, because we know that our brains don't fully develop until we're in our early 20s. And so if you get turned into a vampire when you're 17, does your brain stop developing at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Or does the vampire stuff do its super healing magic or transformation, whatever, and automatically turn into a fully developed brain? How does this work?
I don't know. See, right, I was thinking, I thought about that a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's an interesting conundrum, right? It would explain some of his actions. He's 17. He acts like he's 17.
Yeah.
Right? And then it kind of becomes an ethical question to me. So I know he's almost dying and that's why he gets turned, you know, all of that. But I wonder if it's unethical to turn people into vampires whose brains are not fully developed, especially if they will never be fully developed.
Right.
Right. There obviously are not vampire laws, I guess. Punishment. Oh, well, no, maybe there is. There's probably a council.
Yes.
Right? Isn't there a council?
They have a council. And this specific scenario does not come up later in the series, but they do have rules about how you can't turn children into vampires.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So if they can't turn children into vampires, I mean, technically they're still children.
Right.
Right. So without fully developed brains, I just feel like you also consenting to something like that as well at like 17 or 18. It sounds great, you know?
Yeah.
But you don't know how much better it'll be in the future when you're not all angsty like this.
True. However, mm-hmm. I think we also have to acknowledge the way that our world also functions is the same thing, right? So the age of consent for a lot of states is like 16.
Mm-hmm.
Younger than that in a lot of states, brains still are not fully developed. You can get married.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I forget what the age is. I think in some states, child marriage is still a thing if your parent signs off on it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You can still, you can be 18 and still get married or join the military.
Yep.
They still let like young people whose brains are not fully developed make life-altering decisions.
And a
Is
lot of
that
cases,
ethical?
no, it's not. Child marriage is not ethical, right? There
Right.
are like this sort of stuff has been determined to be pretty unethical when, I mean, you put thought into it, it's unethical, right? I mean, even joining the military at 18, right? That was basically an arbitrary age that was made because you look at it and it's like, okay, you're 18, right? So now you're old enough to die for, like, we can send you off into war. You can hold a gun and you can kill people, but you can't drink until you're 21. What is that? Or in a couple
You
states.
can't rent a car until you're 24.
Yeah. Right? In some states, you can't buy cigarettes until you're like 19. I think Jersey has that law. Like,
I think it's
so
21 now. I think you have
is
to
it
be,
21?
I think you have to be 21 to buy cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 21.
So I think all those other things that you brought up in terms of like child marriage and all of that are clearly unethical. And I do think that like 18 to join the military, because you can actually be younger than that to sign up, right? Like I think the youngest you can sign up is 17 or maybe 16. You might be able to sign up at 16 and then not actually be like fully join it until 18, you know? Something like that might be around. So I kind of do feel like that's a little unethical to do. You know? So I also think it's unethical to turn people when they're so young, but may not have a choice in some situations. So, and so they're obviously not given time to grow up then in that way and have their brains fully developed. Because if somebody came to me now and said, "Hey, do you want to be immortal?" I said, I'm gonna be like, "Yeah, that'd be great. I can travel everywhere in the world if I'm immortal." Like, yeah, let's do it. And then they said, "But you'd be 17 forever with the brain of a 17-year-old." I would say, nope, not doing that.
I feel like we're being kind of harsh about 17-year-old brains.
Oh, well, yeah.
17-year-olds, if you listen to this show, your
It
brain is perfect. Like
is.
it's still doing the things.
Still
Your frontal
growing.
lobe is still developing, and that's where a lot of decision-making stuff comes in. Part of it's also just a function of like age and experience and running into situations where you have to make complex decisions. There's nothing wrong with your brains. They're just still, you know, doing their thing, and they've not developed all the way.
Yes, I don't mean to insult 17-year-olds. It's not what I
I
mean
don't
to
know that 17-year-olds listen to our show, but if you
do.
do,
If you
you're doing great.
do,
Your
yes.
brain is doing really good things. It just needs some more time to make it even better.
Yeah, so you want to change at the peak of your better,
Right.
right? That's what it is. You want to wait for the peak.
You know, I might choose to be immortal a little bit before where I'm at right now because I'm getting to the point where if I stand up wrong, I get back pain. So let's like maybe 30 years old
I would say
is
I
the time.
liked myself most, I think, at like 25 or 26. So I'd probably want that. That was a good age.
Something that I don't love as a thing that happens in the story a couple of times is that Bella has a lot of feelings about Edward and she does not eat because of them. There's a few cafeteria scenes where she goes through the line and doesn't get food. She just gets a drink because she's feeling like nauseous and anxious about it. And I just don't love the idea of not eating because of a boy. You know, anxiety affects people in a lot of ways, but eating disorders are really common in young people, especially, but specifically young girls. And I just don't love this as a manifestation in the story. And if I'm remembering correctly, this is much worse than the next book.
In that, well, at least in the movies, I think. Isn't that one where she tries to like drive off a cliff or something?
Yeah, that's the second one. Yes. Yeah. So she gets involved in near-death experiences because it makes her hallucinate Edward. Which is not a great example.
Yeah.
Bella definitely needs some help with coping strategies.
She would benefit from that.
Yeah. I did not realize how young Jacob was in the books.
Yeah, me either.
Bella is 17. I've been that way for a minute. Jacob has just turned 15 in this book, and Edward is over 100 years old. The difference between newly 15 and almost 18 years old in maturity is big. And we don't see quite as much interaction between Bella and Jacob in this book, but in the next book and in all of the rest of the books, I feel like he's half naked most of the time. I feel like they really age Jacob up in the movies, which is good because this is weird otherwise. He definitely spends at least half of New Moon without a shirt on. But if you'll remember back when these books were first out, there was this whole like Jacob versus Edward thing. Like half of the country was lusting after these people, one of them being over 100 years old and one of them being 15 years old.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. I remember that. And it was also, I don't want to say older women, but I'm probably women our age, right?
Yeah.
At the time, we're super into it and super into these actors and stuff. And I mean, it was awkward, I feel like.
Yeah. I don't remember feeling awkward about it then, but I feel like this is kind of weird now. So.
I also remember in the second movie, and this makes more sense now knowing how old he actually is, because I thought they were like the same grade.
Yeah, same.
She makes all of these comments about being, oh, she's 18 and she's an old maid now.
Yeah.
She makes a lot of those comments. Or maybe it just stuck with me. I don't know. I only saw once, but I'm assuming that must also be in the book. Maybe not. I
I
don't
don't know.
know. But that would make sense then. Those comments make more sense. Although, yeah, she is kind of stuck in a bad situation too with Edward, though, in that if she can't keep dating him if she did not get turned into a vampire, because he's
Right.
17.
Yeah.
So at what point, at what age does that become? I mean, I know he's been around for 100 years, but at
Yeah.
what point do the cops get involved?
Yeah. I mean that's a good point too. Edward's super resistant to changing her. He doesn't want her to become a vampire, which means at some point their relationship is going to have to end or change too. But he doesn't want to do that either. Meanwhile, Bella's like, I'll just get Alice to change me. Okay.
Going into this, well, I guess because I've only seen the movie, I thought that Bella had managed to figure out that the Cullens were vampires by herself. But in the book, she is straight up told they're vampires, they're cold ones, right?
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But it did get me thinking then about the lore of where vampires came from. And there's this podcast called Lore, right? That talks about it, but a lot of it apparently came from when people died, right? And it was that whole like, it looks like your fingers and your hair is still growing, and maybe your body's bloated a little bit, right? People thinking that they were still alive. And because that's so that's kind of where it originated from, right? And then there was also at a time where drinking human blood was supposed to be medicinal.
Oh, what?
Yeah, didn't know that, but yeah,
Oh, no.
apparently, so that got tied in to it. Yep, so it's interesting where the lore comes from in general with this, and it's gotten so changed between. We have so many different vampire, like current vampire, lores. I guess there's Twilight, we've got Buffy, there's Dracula, which has their own thing. I mean, the list goes on, right?
Right.
And they all have their own things. But it made me think then, what would be, if you could pick which vampire to be in, like, what would you pick?
Like which version of vampires would I pick? I would pick Deborah Harkness's vampire universe. So with The Discovery of Witches, I would pick that one. I love the universe that Deborah Harkness has written. And think about, you know, just being part of Diana Bishop's life pretty regularly. So I really like the lore that she has written for vampires. And I would definitely step into that world tomorrow if given the chance. Mm-hmm. What about you?
So at first I thought Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I was thinking more on it, What We Do in the Shadows. It's a funny show, but they have a lot of powers.
Yeah.
So when you break it down, when it's not, you know, Matt Berry acting all funny, right? They can shapeshift, right? They can also turn into bats. Mm-hmm. They have glamour. They can turn invisible. Some vampires can turn invisible. You know, they hypnotize you. All of this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually pretty powerful. I was like, that would actually be a good. I think that would be a good one to join. Also, yeah. I really like Matt Berry. So
Matt Berry's so good.
Yeah.
What is his name when he runs off and opens a bar? It's like Jackie. Yeah,
that's right.
What is his last name? It's like Jackie.
Let me see.
Oh, it's something. Because the way he says it, the way he says anything.
I know. Every time I talk about going into the city, right? I'll often say New York City.
He's perfect. He's just great. Perfect in everything. But he is perfect for that role. And also the woman that plays Nadia. So good.
Yeah.
The lore for the vampires in this universe is kind of different, I feel like, from a lot of the lore we've seen with the vampire books that we've read. Mm-hmm. So it's all or nothing with a vampire bite.
Yes.
If you get bitten by a vampire, you either are going to be a vampire or you are going to be eaten. If they bite you, it's to kill you or to turn you into another vampire. And that's really different from a lot of the other books. There is typically a pretty intensive process when it comes to making someone another vampire. It's not something you could do by accident because it almost always involves removing a significant amount of the person's blood and swapping it with your own.
Mm-hmm. And I remember in True Blood, you had to like sleep, not like sexually, but you slept with the person, whoever you were turning, like, and that if you didn't, they wouldn't turn.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah.
But it's almost always like a calm. And there's also a process, or not a process, a alternative to killing the person that you're feeding from. Mm-hmm. I think most of the time you can choose to eat or drink just a little bit of their blood and it not like they not have significant negative effects. And sometimes them not even remember it.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of times this conversation about, could you just like raid a blood bank?
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't ever come up here.
Yeah. Vampires seem to have options that they don't necessarily always take. I think there's some part too where vampires want, like, it's part of their nature, right? They mm-hmm. want to hunt and
human. Definitely. Stuff. Very predatory. Even in Deborah Harkness' series, the mm-hmm. Discovery of Witches series, the vampires are predators. And so and we do see this show up here, part of interacting with a predator means not doing things to set them off, like running away.
Mm-hmm. Also, they can go in the sun.
Oh, yes.
One.
That's true.
They just sparkle. It's entertaining because that thought is funny. But mm-hmm. then it also, like, I feel like such a core part of vampires is that if they go into the sun, they die. Mm-hmm. You know? I just feel like that's such, like, a core part of vampires. And to sparkle is funny. I just have feelings about it. But I'm fine that it happened because it gave us that fantastic scene in the movie. This is the skin of a killer, Bella. Please, sparkle away.
Oh gosh, it's just so bad. It's so bad. But also, that scene is so different from how it happens in the book.
It is.
Because Edward unveils himself to Bella in the book and she's dazzled by him. And we get like this moment of almost self-consciousness with him in the book, which we certainly don't get in the movie. Book Edward and movie Edward are so different from each other. Like Edward in the book is playful and kind of funny sometimes, and he makes jokes, and he's got a lot more dimension than the movie Edward, who is very serious and pretty grumpy a lot.
Yes, I agree. I didn't expect, because again, saw the movie, did not expect Edward to have a sense of humor or be anything other than like making grimacy faces that, you know, happened in the movie. Also, I thought it was interesting that scene where he's like ripping everything up. He's like, as if you could outrun me.
Yeah.
As if you could fight me off, right? In the book, he's like quiet and gentle about it, sort of, you know?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of like Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Did you put your name?
Hi.
Hey.
Did you put your name in that Goblet of Fire?
Very different.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
There, that speaking of that scene with the meadow, so part of what I struggled with was just how quickly they fell in love with each other. I don't love insta love as a trope anyway. So it's not specific to this book. It's that trope whenever it shows up in any book in general. But she says at one point, very, very short amount of time into the time that they, it's, I think after she finds out that he's a vampire and he saves her and poor Angelise, she says, I was unconditionally and irrevocably in love with him. Ma'am, he still has not 100% committed to not murdering you.
Yeah.
They go on a hike, which is nice. It's a good, you know, outdoor activity, even though Bella hates trees and green and hiking. They go on a hike. Bella says, the meadow, so spectacular to me at first, paled next to his magnificence, talking about Edward. The girl has been complaining about the lack of sun. She finally gets to see the sun, and it pales in comparison to Edward's existence. My note in my Kindle is, girl, masturbate. You need to do something about these hormones that you are experiencing.
You know, there's the part of the book, too, where Edward makes a comment about being like, I have all these new weird feelings. And they're like in bed, and I couldn't tell what he meant by that. Like, is he talking about like loving you, or is it because it was early?
Yeah.
I think. And I was like, is he talking about having emotions? But he's saying like feelings, or is he talking about like sex stuff?
Like, does Edward have a boner right now?
Right.
Is he erect? Has this right. never happened to him before?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do vampires masturbate? Yeah, there's a lot of questions.
That whole thing with, how they have babies is just, it always gets to me how vampires have babies.
That one
doesn't make any sense. They shouldn't be able to have babies.
That one's
actually, they shouldn't even be able to have erections.
Exactly. That should not, they should not have sperm.
She also mentions, so in addition to him being shiny and dazzling her and everything, that his breath smells really good. And there is something that is so off-putting to read about that, like, and to think about that, like, what is that? Why? I understand in a lot of our books that we read, the men smell nice. They smell like pine and snow, but the having their breath smell nice, it's just very off-putting to me.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
It stuck out to me. It came up multiple times.
She just notices a lot of things.
Apparently. I didn't realize that Spider Monkey was not in the book. I kept waiting for that. I wanted some context. I wanted to read that because I wanted to know how that could have possibly factored into this. And it's not used. So again, something was up with that director. To use Spider Monkey, why? It's so entertaining, and it was just supposed to not have it in the book.
Yeah.
It was sad. I was looking forward to getting to that point.
So Bella meets Edward's family. Goes pretty well. He writes a song for her. It's very sweet. He plays the piano for her. Also very sweet. They invite her to play baseball. And it ends really catastrophically, which is why we should just avoid sports, you know?
Yes.
We should just avoid them. So they're playing baseball. They can only do it during thunderstorms because they're so loud. And a coven of vampires stumbles upon them because they hear their baseball game. And everything hits the fan. They run into, like, they think things are going to be cool, but then things are definitely not cool because James, who is actually the leader of their coven, is a hunter and he thinks Bella smells tasty. And when he tries to attack her, it's pretty bad. The whole family, like, surrounds her. And in the movie, they start hissing.
I love that so much. I love it so much. In the book, it's growling. Could they
Yeah.
not have, like,
Oh gosh.
I wasn't
It
expecting it either, even though
is.
I'd seen the movie once before. I guess I totally forgot about that. Was not expecting that.
Can't believe you forgot that.
I know.
Wow. Well, so they surround Bella, and James apparently decides in that moment that Bella needs to die to make all of these other people suffer. James is a real tool. So they spirit Bella away, and I guess they're just planning to run away with her. Eventually, Bella's like, "You have to take me home. I can't just leave. My dad will call the FBI. It's not going to be okay." The scene where Bella has convinced Charlie that she's leaving is really baffling to me. Because
Yes.
my parents are so unlike Bella's that I cannot, one, fathom acting this way and being successful. My parents letting me leave. Bella storms in. She says hurtful things to Charlie that, so she uses the same words, I think, for him that her mom used when she left him, and declares that she's driving her crappy truck that can't go over 60 miles an hour all the way to Phoenix overnight. And he just lets her leave.
I was astounded by that as well.
Would your parents let you do that?
No,
My parents would never let me do that.
definitely not. I think Charlie is also in this part where she's 17 going on 18. How much power does he really have over her, you know? Sort of. And then she says all these hurtful things, and she had been able to leave her mom. So maybe he should give her permission to leave, or, you know, not, you know, whatever,
Yeah.
not try to stop her. But man, I felt bad for him in that scene. It was sad. She
Yeah.
was mean. I don't think I could be mean like that to my parents.
I don't think so either. Edward and company try to lead James away from Bella, and she goes to Phoenix with Jasper and Alice. And that also turns into a catastrophe because Alice sees this dance studio where James will eventually get Bella to meet him. And Bella is the one that says, "Oh, that's a ballet studio. I think the one around the corner from my house." And it made me wonder if any of Alice's visions actually turn into self-fulfilling prophecies.
I always wonder that too with anyone who has visions like that that are changeable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. How much of this was avoidable? Bella was also kind of dumb here, and that annoyed me because your friends are vampires with supersonic hearing. But also tell your friends that you think James has your mom. They're literally more capable of everything than she is. Why do you think that they could not help you?
Why are you being so stupid?
Yeah. Why can't we talk this out? Why can't you tell your friends? Yeah. But she doesn't. She doesn't do that. She goes to the studio instead and almost dies.
Surprise.
She also almost gets turned into a vampire. And Edward, it sucks the vampire venom out of her hand. So I looked it up to see if this is an actual thing that you can even do with venom. And they, I guess you can, but the internet strongly discourages people from sucking snake venom out of a wound. The internet says, don't do this. You can make it worse. But
Yep.
they don't say anything about vampire venom on the internet, so I guess if you're already a vampire, it's probably okay to suck the vampire venom out. But if you're a human, probably don't suck the vampire venom into your mouth.
Don't suck any venom into your mouth. Just
Yeah.
as a rule, if
As
there's
a rule.
venom anywhere, just don't put it in your
Don't
mouth.
suck on it.
Don't suck on it. It's just general rule.
Yeah. Bad idea. I was watching the Twilight movie with my beau this week, and we got to this scene in the movie, which I had not, I guess, paid attention to it as closely as he was before. But it looks like they're having a rager in the background in this scene. Carlisle and Edward are bent over Bella, trying to save her. Meanwhile, Alice and Emmett and Jasper are dancing around. Like, it looks like they're dancing around a big fire, just tossing body parts into it. I don't think that's the tone they were going for. But it looks like they're having a good time.
Yeah.
Bella definitely is not having a good time, but they are. And James dies. Crisis averted. Oh, and I had forgotten in the book, because part of Alice's big mystery is no one knows where she came from. She doesn't have any memories being human. And I had forgotten in the book, James actually reveals that he had been stalking her in the past, and she was kept in an asylum when she was young because she had visions.
Yeah, and they put her in the dark. She was always in the dark, right?
Yeah.
Some
And
things that
so
she...
she was changed into a vampire by an older vampire who James eventually killed. But she was changed so that James could not get to her. So I had forgotten about that.
At least now she knows a little bit where she came from, because I'm sure that was very bothersome.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Bella ends up surviving. You know, she doesn't die. They tell her parents that she fell down two flights of stairs and through a window. And the fact that everyone just accepts this and is like, yeah, that's pretty on par for Bella, tells me that we should be concerned about Bella.
Yep. That was very casually accepted.
Yeah. Even when their mom is leaving the hospital, she's like, be careful when you're walking.
And none of the doctors say anything either. I mean, I guess the doctors don't know her history, but she must have had like a pediatric physician at some point.
Yeah.
And
This is not a normal level of coordination issues.
oh, when she's sleeping in the movies, right? Sorry. Her hand is the weirdest position. Like, she looks like she's possessed. Maybe you're right about the hypermobility stuff.
Yeah.
Because how do you sleep like that? Ugh. It
I
looked
don't
very
remember.
uncomfortable.
I don't remember how she's sleeping.
She's got one of her hands like bent all the way back, and her fingers are all like tense and stuff. Very strange.
Yeah. Well, as she wakes up, her mom is gone somewhere. She talks to Edward to get her story straight, and then her mom comes back and is there for 5 minutes, and is asking her questions about a boy, about Edward. Not like, hey, why did you decide to run away back to Phoenix, and what's going on? She's asking questions about, like, do you love this guy? And what's going on with that? And then, seriously, there for like 5 minutes and then leaves because she's expecting a phone call from Phil. And then she starts talking about Phil in the hospital, like, Phil got a new job. It's not the time, Renee. Ask your daughter some more questions. Care about her. And Charlie doesn't even show up. Charlie's not even in the hospital. This just reinforced my feelings about Renee and made me start to struggle with Charlie too.
Yeah. If and so her mom offers to move to Jacksonville, right? Because that's where he gets signed. Phil gets signed, I guess, as a player. And she says, no, I want to stay in Forks. And her mom goes, is this because of that boy? My mom would never have let me die.
No.
She would have just, no, now I'm definitely taking you, because is there like a university in Forks? There like college or anything that she, well, I mean, she's by in Washington, right?
Yeah.
So I guess there are places nearby. But yeah, no. If I said, no, I want to stay here because of a boy, my mom would just be like, nope, you're definitely not staying here.
Yeah. And then, so Renee leaves. Edward has a conversation with Bella afterwards where he says, so when are you going to move to Jacksonville? I think you'll like it. It's going to be like, I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he's totally thinking that she's going to move to Florida, and she panics.
Mm-hmm.
We start to see a little bit of, I think we might call codependency develop here,
mm-hmm.
about him abandoning her. She says, like, you just can't leave me. I think part of it's also like her not feeling good enough and that kind of showing up here too, and wanting to be changed so that she can keep up with Edward, because she brings up the idea of becoming a vampire at this point. Because she asked Alice, and Alice told her how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how she wants to change so that she can be the strong one in the relationship too. It's not just Edward trying not to kill her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to him at some point, I don't think this is in the hospital. I think this is when they're at her prom later on. She says to him, you are my life. You are the only thing it would hurt me to lose. What about your parents?
Yeah, her parents should have gotten her away from that boy. Because this is how you end up like Topanga in Boy Meets World, giving up your Yale scholarship to go to school with your boyfriend.
I'd forgot about that.
Yeah. Yep. That's how you end up in that situation. So.
Oh, no. We gave up Yale. See, when I think of Yale, I think of Jess and Gilmore Girls when he's confronting Rory because she dropped out of Yale. And he says, you dropped out of Yale. Why did you drop out of Yale?
Yep. Yeah. For a boy. That's always not.
That's what and we want.
She has the, so they're driving to prom and she finds out it's prom and she's shocked that she's going to prom, because she thought, from my understanding, was that she was going to get turned into a vampire, and that's why she was being dressed up and stuff, that it was going to be some like ceremony where she was going to be turned into a vampire, either that or get married. I feel like there's the other option of like, oh, maybe it's a marriage. That is not a why. That's such a weird line of thinking.
Yeah. I mean, she did undergo some pretty traumatic things, and prom probably wasn't really on her radar. So maybe she was also partially just in denial about things.
Yeah, because at this point, everyone had been like, no, we're not turning you into a vampire, and we're not turning you. Like, Edwards has not made any suggestion that he wants to turn her into a vampire. He literally just saved her from being turned into a vampire. So why does she now think, oh, great. Now I'm sure they want to change me, with no conversation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the whole thing about consent would need to take place before you make a decision like that.
Yeah, so she's just like, I'm going to get dressed up and they're going to turn me into a vampire even though nobody talked to me about it. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and poor Jacob, he shows up at the end. His dad paid him $20 to tell Bella that she needs to break up with her boyfriend.
I do not understand Jacob's father. So funny. I know that they made the deal with the Cullens to like stay off of, you know, their land.
Yeah.
But sending your son in to try to convince a girl that's older than him to break up, they don't even know each other too well, to break up her relationship. That's a strange thought process as well. That's kind of like if I gave my nephews money and were like, here, break your parents up or something. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of strange to put that in the hands of your son who's...
Yeah, your poor 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And then he has to say, we'll be watching you. Oh, no.
I I do appreciate that he's honest with her.
Yeah.
All.
Yeah. And it's nice that Bella's dad has a friend who's so concerned about her.
Yes.
And Charlie. That's great. That's great. But also, is this really your place? They're not coming on your land, which is the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely inserting themselves, but yeah. It's entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say, I also didn't get romance vibes from Jacob in this.
No, I don't think those develop until ability. Like, so he makes a comment at the end about being attracted to Bella. Like,
yeah.
But I don't think Jacob also just doesn't have a really big part in this story.
That's true.
He's definitely a low level and undeveloped side character at this point. He's not stepped into some main character roles yet. That comes in the next book and stays present in the rest of the books. Did you have a favorite quote?
I picked a quote. It's the "you are exactly my brand of heroine." I just laughed out loud at that when I read it in the book. And then I was watching it in the movie, and it's also in the movie, but I think it's funnier in the movie because he calls her like, "you're my personal brand of heroin." Like, the way he says it is just great. It's an iconic line. So I picked it.
Okay. Well, that wraps up Twilight by Stephanie Meyer. Join us next time. We'll be discussing House of Flame and Shadow, the third installation of the Crescent City series by Sarah J. Maas. It is much anticipated. We have discussed the previous two books and I think all of Sarah J. Maas's other books up until this point. So if you need refreshers, go back and check. The ACOTAR series was definitely the first three books were the first ones that we talked about, and Silver Flames was later on, and Throne of Glass was 2021. So that series. So if you need reminders or refreshers, I most certainly do. It's been a minute. Go back and check out our old episodes, okay? Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Literary Quest. We hope you enjoyed our episode. If you'd like to follow us on social media, we can be found at Literary Quest Podcast on Instagram or Facebook. You're also welcome to share your thoughts and ideas with us via email at literaryquestpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again.